Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Hey, everybody. Quick note. We don't have a show on Tuesday, and we forgot to tell everyone in this episode. So just so you know, ahead of this episode, which was a very fine episode, just go ahead and listen. We didn't mention that Tuesday. Neither of us are here, but we're back Wednesday. Okay, so no show tomorrow, just so you know. So at the end of the show, when I say see you all tomorrow, I was full of crap. All right, enjoy the show.
TMS is brought to you daily by the support of our patrons at patreon.com/TMS, like Michael Simmons, Primitive B, and Ray Feeney. Coming up on TMS, reduced libido eulogy.
Porkish.
Funeral potatoes.
That's a typo.
What's a flocktive?
Crumplage in the bumperage.
Phone sacks.
Cold hands down the pants.
What's the number before 12?
Beware crab boiled corn on the cob.
Ew. They call it an Isle Royale with cheese.
Double ooh. I want to buy the fake TVs.
Stamp chauvinist pig.
If I play Mario, am I cheating on Zelda?
Mineral balance breakfast with Bobby and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
This is Mrs. Adams. Well, Mrs. Adams, we've been admiring your new home.
Well, it's not so new. In fact, it's over 30 years old. However, we did have new sidewalls put on about 10 years ago.
Tell us, Mrs. Adams, what has been your experience with these asbestos cement sidewalls?
You can't even hurt a fish.
The Morning Stream. Gad's the baby.
Good morning and welcome to TMS. This is The Morning Stream for Monday, October 16th, 2023. I'm Scott. That's Brian.
Hello, Scott. Welcome to another week.
Yeah, baby. Woo!
The beginning of the week as we know it.
Yep. And I feel fine. I actually do feel fine. I feel pretty good today.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Good.
How are you feeling? Are you feeling all right? You got a good weekend behind you? Did you feel like it was a productive time, a good time?
I had a weekend, Scott.
Yeah.
Do you want me to get into it? Should I get into it?
Yeah, really get quick? Into it. Get right into it. Dive in like you're swimming or whatever.
I currently have no soul, Scott.
Oh, shit.
I have no soul.
Oh, no. We got to all gather together and give Brian his soul back. How do we do this?
Exactly. Well, on Friday, Tristan's roommates were borrowing his car to go to work, and they got into a little bit of an accident. Enough of an accident that the airbags deployed, but not enough of an accident that anyone's hurt. They're a little sore still from the stop. It was his girlfriend and their other roommate. And so, you know, it used to be timing wise, Tristan could take them to work, be home, and then, you know, and then go to his job.
Sure.
And it worked out time wise, but now they're kind of on a way different schedule. So they just borrow his car and go to work. And then on the days that he does after work, he just goes with him, obviously.
Makes sense.
But yeah. They got into a little bit of an accident. Enough of an accident that the car had to be towed away.
Okay. And couldn't drive away under its own steam or whatever they say.
Could not. Yeah, it was not able to do that. Enough crumplage in the front left of the vehicle, basically. She rear-ended the car in front of her and very minimal damage to the car in front of her, but the front of Tristan's car is pretty smashed. So we're waiting to hear what the insurance adjuster says and all that. But fortunately, again, everybody's okay. But like the good dad I am, sucker, I'm letting him borrow my car, and which means that that, hey, I'm just trapped here in the house, unless Tina's home and I can use her car. But it also means no Lyft stories for a few days, at least until things come back. So it's a really good time for me to work on that, the streaming stuff. Like the, I have two last Iron Man pieces I'm going to put together on stream, and nice. And another part of the Millennium Falcon should be showing up this week. Yep. So,
and all salads from here on out, that's all you're going to get.
Well, yeah, and I've been trying to do well with that too, because lately, we've been going out to dinner a lot, and oh my God, we went to a boil and bag place, like this Cajun.
Oh,
you know, it's almost like a, you know, it's one of those places where that you get boiled seafood and potatoes and sausage, like a boil.
Yeah, that sounds amazing, like a crab boil.
And yeah, and you just basically say, all right, what do you want in your bag? I'm like, all right, I want half a pound of clams, I want half a pound of black mussels, half a pound of shrimp heads off, and one cluster of Dungeness crab. Mm. And then they bring it to you, they dump it in, it's all saucy and awesome. The I don't know, you know, what happens to corn on the cob pieces in there, but they turn into like mush. But
yeah, they don't always come out right, those things, I've noticed. In fact, I'm not sure I've ever had a crab boil that was always with corn, like down south with Kim's family and stuff. Not sure the corn was ever good.
You know? Yeah, it's so saturated with the sauces and stuff that it's like, it does. They're not big puffy kernels. They're like shriveled up, absorbed all the sauce flavor packets. But
it feels like something you found on the side of the road after a rainstorm.
Little bit flavor, little corn cob, little corn kernel flavor packets that just love to wedge between your teeth.
Yeah, I feel like maybe there's probably a taste for that for somebody, but it ain't me. I don't think I'm not a fan.
Yeah,
I'll do it.
But, that said, though, oh my God, great meal. But still, you know, you do enough going out to eat meals like that, and it's like, all right, I need to. My lunches will be salads, especially with two trivia nights this week. Monday night and a Tuesday night trivia this week.
Yeah, you're stacked up for that. Holy crap.
I am. Yep. And that's always eating out, because it's food trucks at both. It's
like, of course. Plus, you got to do some mind exercises today and tomorrow, you know.
I randomly think of sports stadiums. Think of best actor nominees. Yeah. I think of
You can kind of actually. This is a great question. Can you sort of have any way of predicting? Can't. Can you?
No. The only thing you can do, I mean, keeping up with current events, because you know sometimes these places do a current events round. But the only training you can do is that loosen your mind recall training, because it's like that. Kind of like that, if you're really struggling to remember something, and we do it all the time here on the show.
Oh, yeah.
And then as soon as we start thinking of something else, our brain relaxes on whatever we were trying to remember, and it comes to us instantly.
Yeah, it's isn't like, that weird?
Oh, so that weird. guy, who's that guy's name? But I was on the street the other day. Oh, yeah, Vincent Schiavelli, however it's pronounced.
Whoa, I didn't expect him to come out of nowhere.
That's a name that I was desperately trying to remember the other day, because I saw a guy who looked like Vincent Schiavelli. Never really did figure out how to pronounce. And that's a very recognizable dude. Like if you say, oh yeah, that guy looks like Vincent Schiavelli, somebody needs to say, oh wow, okay, well I can completely visualize what that dude looks like.
That's great.
And I was desperately trying to remember that guy's name, and then I thought of something else and it came to me. So that's why that one was a recent.
Well, that'll be fun though. You'll have a good time. You'll have no car.
Yeah, it'll be fun to do some trivia and
drive with Tina, exactly. Take her car, you know.
Well, you have to.
Whatever you got to do. Well, all right. Sorry to. I'm glad they're okay, though. I meant to say that earlier.
Exactly. Yeah, that is the key thing, the key takeaway, the important deal. Yes.
My wife wanted me to share some thanks to people collectively. We've tried to do it individually. She's always wanted to send out thank you cards and all that. But the funeral happened on Friday. It was nice to get some closure. By the way, I dare any of you to ever have a eulogy where the words reduced libido get said over a pulpit.
Oh, geez, really?
Yeah. I'm not going to tell that whole story here, but I will tell Brian off air, because Brian will laugh at this and keep it to himself. But for the rest of you, just know that if you ever have on your bingo card reduced libido at a funeral during a eulogy, well, I think the chances are low you'll ever hear that. And you would have if you'd have come to the funeral on Friday. Anyway.
I saw Reduced Libido open for Metallica at the Staples Center years ago.
They were great. They were great.
They were great, yeah.
Yeah,
they had some sound issues, but they figured them out.
Yeah. And when they almost wrecked their Winnebago on that tour, that's when things kind of got weird.
That's right.
But anyway, she wanted to thank everybody for all their kind words, and we got a bunch of flowers, and people sent nice things, and it was all very nice. It was a good thing for everyone to finally have that day. That's what funerals are for. You know what? I kind of learned a lesson here about funerals. Funerals are something I don't look forward to. No one does. No one wants to have anyone die that they care about. All those things are terrible. But I now get it why humans gather together wearing their nice Sunday best, sit down and listen to people talk and reminisce and have a life sketch and do all the stuff they do and the video montage on the screen in the back and the photos up on the thing. I know why we do that now. There is a need for people to have that stuff happen and close it out. When I was younger, I used to think, man, funerals are weird. Why would you want to just spend like 3 hours feeling like shit? You know, I didn't understand it when I was younger, and I've had very few funerals in my life, to be honest. I'll probably count them on one hand.
I could count them on one. I've been to a couple funerals. I guess I could count. Yeah. One hand probably though.
Yeah. It's lower. It's kind of low. Mm-hmm. I feel bad. I'm sure there are people with many.
That number is going to pick up for us, Scott.
Yeah,
oh,
I know.
Boy.
It's only going up from here, dude. But it was nice. It was a good closure-y thing outside of some weird stuff that came out of someone's mouth. But I won't talk about that today. I guess I just did. Moving on. Let's talk about... we got a phone call about phone jailbreaking.
Oh,
that
good.
I want to play real quick.
Jailbreaked phone? Jailbroken
no.
Phone?
No, they did not. However, it's the most sensible answer I've gotten to the discussion we had about jailbreaking. Right. And so here it is. This is why you might still sideload and jailbreak your phone.
Hey, Scott. This is Keg Tapper calling for the morning stream. Yesterday, or today's show, actually, you were asking about why sideload onto Apple. I used to work manual QA on the apps for Food Network, HGTV, that kind of thing, Travel Channel. And we would frequently sideload new build tests onto the phone. So that was the reason why we did it. We did that for all the connected TV apps and that type of thing. And so it was very useful for us.
Interesting. So
yeah, totally makes sense.
Yeah.
As developers, it makes sense.
It doesn't, doesn't it seem like you would have, if you're a dev of you're part of a dev team that makes apps. Mm-hmm. I would assume that the tools allowed you to do this sort of thing anyway.
I would think so. Yeah.
It's weird
like
that you'd
you
have
use
to
test flight and
yeah.
you,
even if you use, yeah, that's a good point. Even if you just use test flight for it,
yeah,
that's the whole point of test flight.
Right, right.
So I don't know. I don't know why you'd have to. Maybe we've asked more questions. We haven't really answered anything, I guess.
Yeah, maybe.
That's what happens here on this show. We don't answer shit.
You know what's in my test flight? A bunch of those card crawl games that those guys keep putting out that I play once and forget to play more to give them feedback on. So card crawl, if you're listening, sorry. I'm sorry.
You're just as good a beta tester as I am. I'm a terrible beta tester. People give me beta access to games all the time. Desktop stuff, whatever, and I'm like, all right, let's go. And then I play it once and go, I'm gonna play this when it comes out for real and not touch it again and never provide any feedback.
That's exactly right.
I do that with WoW.
Oh my god, what are we gonna do? What are we gonna do Friday, Scott? What is our because we've got both Mario and Spider-Man 2 coming out this Friday. What's gonna be your game?
It's a big day.
It is a big day, especially for a guy who's a massive fan of Spider-Man and Mario.
Well, the reviews are already in. Spider-Man 2 getting pretty much mostly positive reviews, a couple of middling, cool. But mostly positive reviews saying it really ups the game and it's awesome and blah, blah, blah. No reviews yet for Mario Wonder. However, my mood right now is probably Spider-Man, I think. That's where my head's at. I'm kind of open worldy at the moment, and I think I want that.
I think I'm in exactly the same boat, especially because if I turn on my Switch and I've already purchased, basically I did that thing where you pre-buy two games, you get two game tokens for brand new games.
Right.
So I use the first one on Zelda, and I'm using the second one on Mario.
Yeah.
I feel like if I turn on my Switch and play Mario, I'm cheating on Zelda. I'm cheating on that last boss fight in Zelda that I need to.
Yeah, I felt like that with Breath of the Wild for a long time.
Yeah,
where I would play other stuff and go, oh, I'm sorry. I moved your little icon over to the right a little bit.
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah, I understand that feeling. Guess what, guys? We're gonna play our own game here on the show. Stephanie, don't worry; those aren't apps.
Let me do a real quick thing, though.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
Two things, because I just talked about the soul. Got a request from a listener who asked me to 3D print an IKEA chair. I texted you photos if you want to share those photos.
Oh, absolutely, I do. Stream. Yeah. Oh, I read the notes wrong. I was thinking, I didn't mean to skip over your chair and the other thing. Oh, the
I know, because you saw the soul and thought, oh, he's already done talking about things.
Yeah, I'm an idiot.
No, it's quite all
right. Let's see, I'm pulling up messages. Here we go. I love it when we can share images, except all you listening audience will try to explain this over the air, okay? Okay, here it is.
Yeah, I'll share photos on all the Insta.
Oh, the Insta. Yeah, put it on Insta, Brian. Put it on Insta.
I'll put it on the Insta. Mm-hmm. Anyway, it's a little 3D printed Pwong chair.
Oh, this isn't a full-size chair?
No, that is... That is about 2.5 inches tall right there.
I'm blown away my brain went, oh, that's a chair. Okay. Brian made a chair, and it looks like a full-size chair you could sit your ass on. All right. Anyway, explain this. Yep. This is awesome.
It's the chair that Bree's husband plops into at the end of his day of work and just loves that chair. He pops in there like just... Blop, flops in that chair. So she asked me to 3D print one for him and paint it. And so I actually did the paint job to make it look like that light pine. Mm-hmm. Even gave it little striations to make it look like wood. And then did some stuff with dry brush to make the cushion look like a real cushion.
This is great. I love this. This is so. How do I put this? This makes me want you to make like a whole miniature like house full of miniature shit in it. You know what I mean?
I could. And it's funny because the person, because she downloaded the STL for this and sent it to me.
Yeah.
So, which I can do. By the way, oh, yeah, look at this. Look at this Worgen.
Ooh, look at the Worgen.
Warcraft Rumble.
Oh, shit. That guy looks like someone who could turn into a man and then back into a wolf.
Exactly. So, yeah. So if you people want stuff commission printed, let me know. Email me. But but the person that she got this STL from just does STLs of IKEA furniture and has a ton of them. So like you can download the Billy bookcase or the Kallax shelves or whatever and like have a whole 3D. So it may not even be a 3D printed house, Scott. It could be a 3D printed IKEA store display. Like one of those rooms.
Yeah. You bring that up. I was just in IKEA yesterday, marveling at these small, like they have here's a 600 square foot apartment. And I walked in there. I was tempted to film a short story that made it look like I was in there, you know, but then pull it out and go, whoa, we're in an IKEA. And I didn't do it.
Oh, my God. You know, it would have been great because you could have done like a little sad narration of you like listfully looking at something while you're laying on the bed and then another position like looking at their fake computer with some like a piano, you know, NPR piano music in the background.
Yeah, and see? Then, see, you know exactly what I was exactly aiming for such things. This is what I wanted. Here's what I really want. When I go to IKEA, they always have these fake TVs in these little fake living rooms.
Yeah, yeah.
I want to buy the fake TV. They don't sell those.
No, I know.
I want a flat panel online, fake. Sure, can I? Somewhere, probably Alibaba or something,
definitely somewhere like that. Yeah. Tina and Tristan Kay and I did our Christmas cards at IKEA several years ago. We took mugs and a tripod, and we took our Christmas card photos like we were sitting in an IKEA and then made the Christmas card look like a page from the catalog.
Wow.
So we were like the, you know, cheering with our coffee and our slippers on, our feet up on the table. And
that's amazing.
Yeah. I thought I sent you one. I'm pretty sure I sent you one.
You probably did. And I just didn't know this backstory.
It's just been a long time.
It's been a long time. All right. I found a place that does nothing but props. Fake computers, fake candy, fake whatever. And they've got a whole set of TVs from 22 inches up to 60. I think I'm going
to
get one.
Black Friday sales, Scott. You'll be able to get those for pennies on the dollar.
I know, right? Let's see. Price range. I want to go 100 to 200. Let's see what I got here. All right. I can get a 60-inch mountable flat fake screen TV. Well, they're expensive. $119.
Is that propsamerica.com?
Yeah.
I see BioCat just put a link up in
there. Yeah, that's where I'm at.
Wow. That's
seems pricey.
Crazy.
Yeah. It seems a little high.
It's a little high. I think for $100 more, you could get one that works, like a real one.
Yeah, I agree.
May not be 4K, but...
But look at all this fake food they've got. Oh, man.
Cookies. That's
they got a whole cereal breakfast for $30, and it's a fake bowl of cereal full of milk and a spoon, fake orange juice. Shit, I love stuff
like
this. Christmas
cookies for $50.
I don't know why I love this kind of thing so much. I do, though.
Yeah.
Fake stuff. Love it. Don't know why.
Yeah.
Except boobs. I'm not into that. All right. Well, there you go. Oh, how was Haunting of Venice real quick? What was your review?
Yeah.
Give me a score.
Boy, I don't know if A Haunting in Venice was made so much better by the crap that was just A Haunting or The Haunting. But as the third Hercule Poirot movie, holy crap, it was good. Tina Fey was excellent. Kelly Reilly, who we all love in Yellowstone, and
I love
her. She was in that Frankie and Grace, and she's just got some really like amazing eyes, that Kelly Reilly.
Yeah, there's something about her for sure.
Yeah, can't look away from those eyes. Yeah. Anyway, the movie was great, and I would say it's up there with maybe even liked it better than Murder on the Orient Express as far as the trilogy so far. I don't know if they're going to make more if it's three and out for Agatha Christie, but
This would be the time they'd either get out or bear down, right?
Exactly. Yeah. But no, I thought it was really good. And it's weird having you've got your weird hybrid movies. I just watched a time travel slasher that I'll talk about on Wednesday. Mm. We've had superhero heist movies and, all sorts of different combinations. I don't know if I've ever seen a horror mystery before.
Mm. Interesting.
Yeah, I mean, Angel Heart could kind of be maybe described as a horror mystery.
Could see that, sure.
But this one was just straight up horror mystery. And damn, it's way scarier than the first two films and really, really good, though.
I'm curious about it. I like the first one. Didn't see the second one because everyone said it was bad, and so I avoided it.
Yeah, great cast. Great cast on all three of these, but I don't know why the second one just fell flat.
Well, that probably means... It's like the Ocean's movies, right? 12 sucked.
Yeah.
So you got 11's great. Or 12, sorry, 12. No, wait.
Yeah.
Ocean's 11's great. Sorry.
11's good. 12's
12 sucks. What's the number before 12?
But yeah, I mean, there's a few trilogies. If you just look at the initial Indiana Jones trilogy, the lesser of the three.
Yeah.
Is the middle one. I don't think I think you and I both agree it's not nearly as bad as
Crystal Skull. Oh, hell no. Yeah. I'll take two. I like two, but I'm not going to sit there and argue it over either of the other two.
Yeah.
Movies.
Yeah.
But yeah, like
Dr. Calhoun, Star Trek movies are exact opposite. Two is great. And one and three are kind of.
Yeah. The evens in Star Trek are the winners.
Yeah.
The odds and the evens in Star Wars are often the winners too.
Yeah. Right.
Although one's great, but two,
Empire. Everybody loves Empire.
Empire's great.
Everybody.
How do you not like Empire? I mean, my gosh, who are the people that don't like Empire Strikes
exactly,
Back?
Exactly. I don't want to know. I don't want to know those people.
I don't want to know them.
Yes. All right. Anyway, so good review for Haunting in Venice.
All right. Thumbs up from Brian. Both of them, right? Both thumbs.
That's right.
Okay.
Both thumbs up.
All right. That's better than
up in the air. Like I just don't care.
Yeah. Those are the ones. Let's see here. Who are we calling? Dunaway. That's who. Let me add him to the thing. We missed him last week. Let us rectify that mistake and bring him back in for today's fun time. Here's his deal. That music signifies the entrance of Brian Dunaway, who we didn't have last Monday and Wednesday, which made us all sad.
It did.
Randy would be fine. Don't get me wrong. Randy was a fine replacement.
Randy was a fine Randy, but he's no Brian Dunaway.
He's no Dunaway. Dunaway's the regular. Dunaway, what are you doing? How are you?
Oh, hi, Scott and Brian. Let me see. Enjoying the first truly feels like fall day. Aww. Where I live.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah. It's like, you know, I've had like little kisses here and there. It's like, oh, that cold wind. Mm. But no, this morning it was like, I need to get a jacket.
Yeah.
It's cold.
We're having
weather
that today.
Foreplay period is over and now it's moved on.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. Is with the kissing of my neck is over. It is cold hands down my pants. That's what
I was going to say. And now you're in the same boat with how do I finish this analogy?
That's right. That's a hard one to get to the end of. By the way, 56 here currently in Salt Lake City. It will be a high of 75 today. It'd be very nice. Brian, what are we looking at in the metro Denver
54
area?
54 currently, 71.
All right.
So, 71 today in Arvada.
All right. We're all in the zone today.
Yeah.
And then you and I will enjoy it without...
Well, get into the zone.
Without 400 pounds of moisture hanging all over the place like Brian will, and that's fine.
Exactly.
Yes. Dunaway, speaking of your moisture, bring it to bear here in our contest that we do on Mondays called The Half Asses. Brian Ibbett here will explain it and tell us who we're playing for. Brian, take it away.
Sure. Welcome to the morning. Half Asses, a trivia game where I'm actually going to be giving you the answers. I'm going to give Scott and Brian a category and six possible answers, three of which are correct, three that are incorrect. However confident you feel with the category, you can provide one, two, or three guesses, but if any of those guesses are wrong, you get 0 points for that round. Get one right gets you a point, guess two right gets you 3 points, and get all three correct, you will get 5 points for that round. The player with the most points after three rounds wins the prize of their contestant. Hey, here's who you guys are playing for. Scott, you're playing for Amber Elstad in Portland, Oregon.
Mm.
Brian, you're playing for Kevin Moody in Brighton, Tennessee.
Ooh.
Oh, Mr. Moody. Okay.
Moody.
We're keeping it in the South over there and keeping it in the West over here. This is great.
That's right. Exactly. Yeah. It's just weird how it's
sometimes
lines
up. You got to keep them separated.
That. Yeah, that's right.
Exactly. All right, let's get to it here. Your first question and your six possible answers. Let's go baseball because we all know a lot about baseball.
Oh, God.
So I was like, let's get this one.
All
over
I know
first.
About baseball is the gum is terrible.
Yeah.
That's so true.
It's true.
Well, you just watched Bull Durham. Maybe that'll help you with this. Major leaguers who pitched more than two no hitters. Which of these pitchers pitched more than two no hitters? You've got Christy Mathewson. You've got Nolan Ryan. Roy Halladay.
Ray.
You can call me Ray J. You can call me anyway.
Yeah.
Randy
God.
Johnson, Sandy Koufax.
I don't
and
get it.
Bob Feller. Which three of these pitched more than two no hitters?
That's Bob Feller. Feels like a long time ago. That guy. I'm doing two.
Okay.
I
thank God I watched Bull Durham recently because that totally informed everything I chose today.
That's right.
I'm sure it did. Good. Is a good practice for this. Putting on the old glasses.
Mm-hmm.
Holy mackerel. All right, you guys both settled in.
You missed them all.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nolan Ryan is a very good choice because he pitched 71 no-hitters. 71
wow.
no-hitters pitched by Nolan Ryan.
High.
So he was a very good choice. Another good choice is Sandy Koufax.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
He pitched four
Man.
No-hitters.
Really?
The other one is Bob Feller, who pitched three.
Good job.
Randy Johnson, the big unit, who's known for his strikeouts, has only pitched one no-hitter as of the writing of this game. So 2020, I believe this game came out.
Mm.
I haven't checked to see if he's done any more or even if he's still playing baseball. Christy Mathewson, two, and Roy Halladay, one.
So, nice.
Congratulations. Scott,
good job,
going
Scott.
Into round two.
I met Nolan
Scott,
Ryan once a long
Scott
time
knows
ago.
Scott the balls.
I met Nolan Ryan a long time ago, probably early 90s. Nicest.
Did you really?
Yeah, I came. Wow. We went to speech.
That
he did.
Was the best time to meet him.
He did like a talk mm-hmm. somewhere. I can't remember why we were even there. None of that's memorable, but he was very nice. Got to shake his hand. Super nice guy. I think he's still around.
How did it feel? What kind of hand was it? Do you remember?
It was a big hand.
Sorry, yeah. Randy.
Was it a big hand? Was
so
it?
People are about to, people are saying that 71 is both incorrect, is a typo on here. Look, I'm looking at it right now. It says 71, but you guys are telling me just seven, which makes a lot more sense. 71 no hitters.
Well,
but the card says moops. Sorry.
Sorry, card says moops. Yeah. That's the card says moops rule.
Just moops.
Yeah. That's what we do
rule.
Here.
Exactly.
All right.
All
excellent.
Right. Let's get to clothing, fashion, if you will. I know you guys are big into this, and you both wear hats. I know Scott wears a hat. Brian, do you wear hats ever?
Do you never watch my stream? Do you never?
Oh, he is all hats.
That's right. Yeah, it's true. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's. I wear a hat every time.
He's almost all hats.
I know you weren't wearing a hat though.
I can't remember the last. Oh, yeah. That's, I guess you guys just saw each other, but I can't remember a time where I was either with you or saw you and you weren't wearing a hat. That's pretty rare.
I love my hats, man.
You do like a hat. Yeah. What are you hiding? What are you putting on your head to hide? What is it? Horns? You got horns? You got some sort of bleeding ulcer up there?
He has a mohawk is what he's hiding.
Oh, that's what it is.
All right. Which of these are types of headwear? The Trier, the Lübeck, the Homburg, the Hamelin, the Rummel, or the Trilby? Three of these are headwear. Three of them are not headwear.
I have no idea.
Not where I live. Yeah. Not where I live.
Wow.
These sound like all like... European names for stuff.
They sure do. Oh my gosh, I don't even know where to start here. This is
and
ridiculous.
A couple of them sound like Russian, right?
Yeah, they do. A little of the Rummel sounds Russian. Maybe I'm thinking a ruble. I don't know.
Yeah.
If you also told me this was all IKEA furniture, I would also go okay.
Going with two again. Oh, it does sound like
IKEA. Going two again.
Yeah, yeah. It does. That's funny. I keep everyone keeps bringing up IKEA.
I'm going to go with two as well.
Okay.
I'm going to go with two randomly selected headwear possibilities.
Excellent. You guys are both locked in. Homburg, the Homburg. That is a hat. Very good, you guys. Well done.
All right.
Lübeck is a German town. And Hamelin is also a German town, as is Trier. You've got three German towns and three hats or three pieces of headwear, the Rummel and the Trilby.
What's the Trilby look like? I want to see the Trilby. I'm going to look.
Trilby was the only one I recognized as being headwear.
Oh, you'd heard of this before?
Oh, kind of like a...
You know what? I'm not surprised to hear that because it's like a cowboy hat and a fedora had a baby kind of.
Yeah, and you know what? My funny hat, because it has such a thin brim, actually might be a trilby.
Oh, interesting. Okay, so thinner brim.
You.
Yeah, look at that.
Let me tell you who looks good in hats.
Who?
Brian Ibbett looks good in hats.
Oh, hell yeah.
Brian Ibbett looks good in hats.
Hell yeah, dude.
Just can't wear it over my
head. I can wear baseball caps. That is the only hat I can wear.
Oh, well then. Yeah, that's true. And that's all the hat you ever wear. It's all I ever see you wear.
Yeah, yeah. Or a stocking cap. I can wear one of those.
Oh, like a beanie like type thing.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, like a beanie.
People are into the beanies. Baby. People like the beanies. Yeah.
I think I've seen that's the kind of hat I feel like I've seen Brian in the most is a beanie.
True story.
Yeah.
True story. Both of those are my two faves.
All right. Yep. Well, now that we've learned Trilby.
No points on that one. Let's get to the last one. You guys, I think, will have a lot better time with this because you're both from the United States. So this is good. United States question.
Sure.
Which of these are U.S. national parks? Isle Royale, Great Sand Dunes, White Mountains, Mauna Kea, Shenandoah, Niagara Falls. Mauna Kea.
One of these feels like a trick question.
Not a Mauna Kea. Mauna Kea.
I think I
like Mauna Kea.
I think I like.
I locked in with two.
I did two as well.
I look forward to losing.
I did two as well.
All right.
You'll never win with two, but yeah, go ahead.
You guys both locked in on the Great Sand Dunes. That is right here in Colorado, and it is a national park, and it's a lot of fun.
I knew that one.
You can
snowboard.
Oh yeah,
take a snowboard. Yeah. And you can snowboard down the Great Sand Dunes.
Can you do four wheeler stuff? Or they not allow that there? Or what's the
I
deal?
I don't know if they allow that there. Mm. They might not.
Yeah, national park may not be allowed to do that.
Motorless stuff. The other two are Isle Royale.
Right. Where's that?
I don't know where Isle Royale is, or the Isle Royale with cheese, and Shenandoah.
I knew it.
Shenandoah,
which means Brian.
Yeah,
Brian
yeah.
also in the song. Gets two.
It's in the song.
What?
It's in the song.
We've touched
Shenandoah to the Blue Ridge Mountain. What's how the song go? I knew it was some places.
Shenandoah. Yeah. No, Blue Ridge Mountain, Colorado. No, I don't know.
Blue Ridge Mountain, Colorado. Yeah, something like that.
Is from Shenandoah,
West Virginia.
This land was made for you and me. I don't think they say Shenandoah in that one.
Yeah.
The other three, by the way, White Mountains are a national forest. Niagara Falls is a national heritage area, and Mauna Kea is a U.S. national landmark, not a park.
And that's in Hawaii. Is that in the Hawaiian Islands somewhere?
That is in the Hawaiian Islands. Okay. Yeah.
All right.
Which means, my friends, we have a tie game.
We do.
When we have a tie. I pull out a tiebreaker question. Zoop, right here in my hands is the tiebreaker question. Let's give Scott the first one on this one.
All right.
Through the Simpsons' first 400 episodes, how many jobs did Homer have or mention having? So we all know Homer's had a lot of jobs.
Yeah,
he was a mascot for the Isotopes.
Hey, don't tell him all the jobs.
Well, okay, so now he knows it's more than one.
Yeah, I do know it's more than
God.
Oh my God.
I should have looked at question number two on this thing because it's more perfect for us. But
use that one.
Well, I mean, it's fine. So you say the first 400 episodes? You say
through the first 400 episodes, how many jobs did Homer have or mention having?
I love it. The happening.
I'm gonna
can't
say
wait to watch that on FilmSack.
Oh yeah, I can't wait. 20 jobs. I'll say.
Okay, 20 is incorrect. Brian, is the actual answer higher or lower than 20?
I mean, there's 400 episodes. I mean, at least a third of those is probably mentioned some kind of job. I would say definitely higher.
It is definitely higher. Damn 188 it. Different jobs, including astronaut, fortune cookie writer, marriage counselor, and opera singer.
Dude, this game, I was so confident going into the final round. I was ready to win this game. But instead, I freaking lost it. I am so sorry to our friend in Oregon, to Amber, for losing our terrible loss here.
It's all right. She's still going to walk away the prize. By the way, the other question I could have asked you guys, how many ingredients are in a McRib sandwich?
Oh, man, that would have been great.
I know, because...
I mean, we could do it for fun. You want to do it for fun?
Do it for fun.
All right.
Yeah.
Dunaway, what do you say? How many?
Well, there's a bun, there's a pickle, there's onions, there's the McRib, and then there's the sauce. That's at least five right there. Now you say ingredients. Do you mean breaking it down to like flour and the bread and everything else? I'm not sure, but I'm going to say...
I mean ingredients.
Oh, you do? Okay, in that case, multiply it times four, so let's probably say about 25 or so.
I'm going to say higher.
The actual answer is higher. It's 70 ingredients in a McRib sandwich.
Nice.
Wow.
70. Holy shit.
Yes. The McRib was born in 1981 as a substitute for McNuggets, which kept selling out. So basically it was like, people keep wanting the McNuggets. What do we do? I know. We'll come up with something that's completely not chicken as a replacement.
Well, I mean, the chicken would be a problem. So I guess they went with a different type of meat. Is it a different type of meat? I don't even know.
It is pork. Supposedly.
Supposedly. Well, I mean, it's pork by
you said like you knew.
It's pork like.
It's porkish.
Yeah, porkish. That's porkish. The way you put it.
I'm feeling a bit porkish today.
That's funny. Well, I'm happy that we have winners today. That's good news. So sure. Congratulations, Kevin Moody in Brighton, Tennessee, and Amber Estaden, Portland.
That's right. Oh yeah, Kevin, you're getting a copy of Flynn, Son of Crimson, and Pilgrims. And Amber, you're getting a copy of Stick Fight. So nice. Fight those sticks.
Ooh, yeah. That's a good one.
Stick Fight's actually pretty good. Yeah. It's better than you think. It's Stickmen, but it's a cool game.
Cool.
Very cool. Hey, Dunaway, nice job. Real quick here. This is just a reminder. We're not even to Wednesday yet. We'll tell people again about it. But on Friday, we will be doing our show, Play Retro, this week. You've got a birthday thing on Wednesday, and we want to make a wide berth
that's
for
right.
that. So we're going to record on Friday, 2:30 Mountain Time. That'll be well after we finish up our couch party and all that stuff. So be here for that.
What are you going to be talking about? Do you know yet? Or
We do. It is going to be, Brian, remind me, shit.
I'm right. I am hoping it will be horror arcade shooters.
Oh, right. Light gun horror arcade shooters. That's right.
Arcade shooters. Like, I guess Splatterhouse is a side-scroller, not a shooter, right?
Right. Correct. So we got, like, Chiller, Crypt Killer.
House of the Dead. House of the Dead in there.
Yes, there you go.
What else? Yep. You could probably count that Terminator game in there. It's pretty scary.
Yeah.
It's a little sci-fi. So
I actually ordered...
That kind of thing,
Area 51. That's right.
You get the big
rifles. Right. I ordered a sensor bar for my computer so I can use my Wiimote so that I can use my little gun Wiimote thing for shooting. I'm going to see how it works out.
Nice.
You're a giant nerd for doing that.
I am a nerd.
I like
Thank
it.
You.
I like it. I'm giant impressed. One. Dunaway, kiss our butts. We'll see you next time.
No, you.
That was a good. That was a good know you. I like that.
It was.
Well done, everybody, especially Brian, and congrats to our winners. Let's move on to, oh, we've got time. You know what? We'll do one news story. One.
Okay.
Can't believe we have time. Here you go. Enjoy. Brian, it's the news brought to you by
Funeral Potatoes.
Literal potatoes. Funeral potatoes. We had them on Friday. Literally, funeral potatoes. Yeah. And they're great, by the way. I don't want to, this is not a besmirchment of funeral potatoes. In the right hands, clearly these were done. They had a lovely dinner after the thing, and these potatoes were so good. Oh my gosh! I'm sure that if I'd eaten another spoonful, I'd have gained 5 pounds. But they were so good. Whoever that old lady, there was an old lady who made them. Whoever you are, you're awesome. All right, quick news story here. We got an Amish man in the news. Amish man is in the news.
Amish man.
What's his power, Brian? What's he do?
Able to withstand getting piles of corn dumped on him in a silo, but the people chasing him won't be so lucky. Excelsior!
Yeah, specifically...
That's Amish boy, really. It's Amish lad.
Amish lad. But what? Who's the guy that got killed in that corn thing was... From the Lethal Weapon movies.
Yeah, it's Danny Glover.
Danny Glover.
Chasing after Lucas Haas.
That's right. Hell of a... That movie's still good. Still holds up.
Yes.
Witness me!
Pretty much all Peter Weir movies hold up. I don't care which one it is.
Yeah.
That guy made movies to last a lifetime. Anyway, Amish men, or men, actual men, a collection of men, have been shunned after a nationwide emergency alert outs them for having phones.
That's awesome. So that alert that we got last week, the 1220...
That horrible test that thankfully didn't happen during any live shows, but still scared the shit out of me when it happened.
Oh, absolutely. It made me poop my pants.
I wasn't ready for it. Anyway, this is
buying a pair of basketball shorts.
This is really great. Members of the Amish community have been shunned by their church after the recent test of an emergency alert system outed them as having procured forbidden mobile phones. The alarms, part of the nationwide emergency alert drill that the U.S. government carried out on the 4th of October, drew the attention of the community elders in Ohio. Eli Yoder. Yoder's an awesome name. Did you know a Yoder?
I knew a couple Yoders, a husband and wife named Yoder.
I know.
His name was Ted. Ted and Mary Beth Yoder.
In high school, one of my nicknames was Yoder, and I don't know why.
Really?
Like, dude, they go, yo, Yoder.
Yoder.
I don't know why. That was a thing. Former member of the Amish community took to TikTok to share the story in which he explained how three of his old friends got into trouble after their devices were discovered. Hey, guess what? He says, I just got a couple of my Amish buddies shunned today by the Amish church. That's right. He said, over the 3 years, there have been quite a few Amish men. I'll do it in his voice. Says, Amish men that reached out and wanted phones. So wherever they go milking, 4:30, time for milking, they request to have a phone. I'll do everything I can to get them a phone. Not always can I do so. But in some circumstances, I have been able to get them my phone. He still talks like an Amish guy.
People come to me when they want something. I can get them a phone. I can get them a rock hammer.
That was the last time I saw Hebadiah.
I'd like to tell you that the emergency alert didn't go off in their pockets, but I can't.
He milked 500 cows and came out clean on the other side. Anyway, that's a fun story to start you with and end you with today on our news. I'm glad we were able to report the news so that you all could be informed for the rest of your day.
Good, nice, brief news. I like a good brief news.
I do, too. That's a news brief. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Speaking of briefs, no, I don't know about that. Science with Bobby coming up right after this break, the song break. And Bobby will be here to talk about some sort of science topic as he is a science podcaster. All right.
Yeah.
So sip still. Get ready for that. Hey, Brian, what's the song break deal today? What are we doing?
Well, I got a band, a brand new band, but they've got a nice little pedigree in their producer, a guy named Mudrock, who worked with Avenged Sevenfold, Linkin Park, Godsmack, and Deftones. So you know it's got to be good. Mm. This is a new band called Stray and the Wild. Kind of dark alternative. Think along the lines of like Evanescence, but with a maybe a lower register lead vocalist. Anyway, sure. If you like Nirvana, Metallica, Muse, Run DMC, Chili Peppers, I mean, oh no, I take that back. That's who mastered it. Howie Weidenberg, who mastered Nirvana, Metallica, Red Hot Chili Peppers, Muse, and Run DMC. I wish I could master just one of those bands, but they're all too difficult. Anyway, maybe if I do it, I'll do one of them on easy mode. Anyway, this is Stray in the Wild and the brand new song, Show Me the Way.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
He's saying the Framus intersects with the Ramistan approximately at the Paternoster.
It's okay to say no, even to an adult.
And we've returned. Tell me who that was again.
Sure. That's the band Stray and the Wild. Brand new single, Show Me the Way.
Nice. Very nice.
Yeah.
All right. Make way for Bobby. He's coming in hot. He's, this look out. Oh, this thing always reminds me we have multiple rooms with him. And so I should use one of the others. But I'm like, no, I want him in this call. Okay.
Exactly.
This call.
But you could use this other room with Bobby.
Forget it.
Use this other room with Bobby.
Science!
Bob is hungry, and the soup looks good.
Yeah, it does. Captain Bobby Frankenberger joining us right now, all the way from South Carolina. Right. We were just talking to someone from there. Bobby, welcome back to the show. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Oh, you sound like you got a cold.
In one episode.
You sound like what do you got there? Yeah. Some kind of southern cold?
The croup.
What do you?
It was weird. My co-host Maura came and visited us from Canada, and she the day she came, my voice just disappeared. No other symptoms.
Yeah.
But my voice just disappeared. Went away. I was paranoid I was going to get her sick, so I was like checking my temperature, all this kind of stuff. And while she was here, my voice just disappeared over the course of an hour. I had no idea why.
Wow.
I was whispering for like a whole day because of it. And then in the subsequent days, it's come back. But then I've gotten like sinus congestion and like runny nose and a cough and sore throat. Like I feel like the symptoms came in the reverse order, you know. I've never had it happen that way before.
Yeah, usually right, you start off with the runny nose and the sore throat, and that's like that's like your early warning system saying, hey, got a cold coming on.
Yeah,
get ready.
Yeah, get ready for this.
Yeah, well, yeah. And then I know to take it easy on my voice.
Mm.
You know,
did you do that? Did you take some time with your voice, or are you violating that oath now by talking to us? Like,
well, I already lost the voice once. I feel like I'll be fine. Like,
yeah,
sure.
Know. Yeah, you'll be all right.
It's coming back.
Oh, good.
So it's fine.
Thank the Lord on high. Well, that's good news. We're going to enjoy our time with you today because you've brought some sort of scientific study substance thing deal topic.
I do. I want to talk about asteroid samples, but you talked about emergency alerts, and it made me think. I wanted to ask you guys a question. Do you think I would like to see numbers? I wonder how many people got into car accident. Like if the car accident rate went up in that moment.
Oh,
you know.
Yeah. I don't know. Is there a way? Yeah.
Because when it happened for me, I was driving and I was in the middle of going through an intersection.
Mm-hmm. Ooh.
And then it happened, and I was sure somebody's going to hit me. Like somebody's going to get distracted and hit me.
Because you might think it's somebody honking that they're about to hit you. It's the sound. It's really close to the sound in movies and TV shows when you're watching the driver and you see the car coming from their side view window right at them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's wild. I didn't think about that. Like I was sitting here working and it freaked me out to the point of I think I typed a bunch of gibberish because my hands jerked and
you like your hands flew forward onto the keyboard.
Yeah, something like that happened. And then I think my wife may have happened while she was in her car. I can't remember where she was. Yeah. She might have been traveling still. I can't remember. But anyway, yeah, that'd be interesting to know, right? Were there a bunch of people caught unaware in their cars, and did it cause...
I said, I was in a Kohl's buying basketball shorts, and when that went off, I almost bought a medium.
Or
well, you can't have
Or was anybody like in the middle of like brain surgery? And
I hope you don't have your phone on you when you're doing.
Amish wasn't supposed to have a phone either.
Oh, good point. The Amish.
My wife Stephanie, she's in the pharmacy. They have like a no phone policy in the pharmacy, and everybody's phones went off during that. And she just put her hands on her hips and looked at everybody and was like,
Oh, that's awesome.
Do they still call us the English? Is that a thing? The Amish refer to all non-Amish? No.
First.
Yes. No, the Kohl's checkout lady at Kohl's. I want to know what she calls it. But like, you know, in the movie.
When they open the pharmacy, that's how they open it. They yell, the British are coming.
Because they always call John Book the English. I didn't know if that was real or not, because I've never really been to an Amish community or known an Amish person. So am I the English? If they see me, they go, oh, English, or something like that. I don't know.
Maybe.
Well, anyway, maybe that study will come out later. Who knows? It almost is it's a great concept for a horror movie where let's say it's all electronic devices all make a horrible screeching sound all at the same time, and nobody was prepared for it. Planes will go down.
Yeah, like a post-apocalyptic movie. Yeah. Everybody crashed everything all at once.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. I love that kind of stuff.
I could tell you what caused the apocalypse. It was testing of the emergency alert system. And
it is basically the plot of Stephen King's Cell, C-E-L-L.
It kind of is, yeah.
Right. I love that book, but it's so dependent on 90s handsets. It's just ridiculously dependent on flip phones. But anyway, sorry, Bobby. Let's talk about asteroid pieces and where I can find them.
Yeah, so this was some big news in the past couple of weeks. Been in the big science news is that NASA just started looking at a returned sample from the asteroid Bennu. There is a mission called OSIRIS-REx, which stands for Origins Spectral Interpretation Resource Identification and Security Regolith Explorer.
Wow. So, I think it sounds like a Guardians of the Galaxy villain we haven't explored.
OSIRIS-REx, yet.
Yeah, OSIRIS-REx. Oh, OSIRIS-REx after Thanos. He's the worst threat.
He's the next big bad after King.
This one's really bad this time.
Wow.
So it was on September 24th. So this mission was launched back in 2016, and the idea was they were going to send this probe, this explorer, out to this asteroid in the asteroid belt.
Yeah.
To take a sample and return it back, a very clean, pristine sample, and return it back to Earth so that it could be put in this special clean room that they're designing specifically for this at NASA, so they can get pristine asteroid samples to be able to study. And that finally came back. It landed in Utah, by the way, Utah connection.
Oh, hey, sweet. Love to hear that. Yep. Yeah.
So, and then it was out on September 24th. It was $1 billion mission.
Wow.
And
that's actually kind of low compared to other mission costs, right? That's
for something, like to get something that far out and have it come back with samples. Mm-hmm. That does seem
like they got a good deal. Price. Yeah.
they bought that price thing on Black Friday, basically.
I'm glad you recognize that, because I thought that was not too high either, considering what they were doing, right?
Yeah.
The asteroid belt is further out than Mars, right? Mm. So they were sending something all the way out there for this. Always blows my mind when I think about the scope of NASA missions, right? It's a little asteroid that's like a half a kilometer across or something.
Right.
They sent a probe out to it, they orbited it, and then they spent six seconds drilling into it and collecting a sample, and then came back. And the fact that they're able to do that it blows my mind all the time.
Now, the articles I'm finding on this are all talking about how it's mineral rich. Is that, did they target it for this reason? Did they think there was something in there that was like, oh, this thing's full of essential, it's all part of a big breakfast or whatever. I don't know what's in that thing.
It's all part of a balanced breakfast.
Yeah, balanced breakfast.
NASA's complete breakfast, yeah. the whole mission purpose was to find clues about the early conditions of our solar system.
Okay.
So 4 billion years ago, the all the planets formed, all the rocky stuff in our solar system started forming, and that includes the asteroids in the asteroid belt. So lots of stuff, dust and particles, started to coalesce into large objects, and the stuff that didn't end up forming into planets and moons, just kind of all the leftover trash, right, rocks started floating around in this ring between Mars and Jupiter. And so the thought is, like, on the planets, after all that stuff formed, you've got atmospheres, you've got things smashing into it, you've got billions of years of erosion and weathering and all this stuff in various planets. You can no longer tell what were the conditions when those things formed. Also, the big planets, you know, they're all compressing on each other, and so then you have molten rock in the middle, all this kind of stuff, right? Mm-hmm. So if you can go out to the asteroids and you can see these were also all formed at the same time as the planets, they'll give you a lot of information about what were things like when the solar system was first forming,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what they were hoping for. They were also hoping to find clues about they were hoping to find water on the asteroid.
I thought you were going
to
say werewolves. I don't know why. You said werewolf, and then I went, what? He's about to tell us about werewolves?
That would be really cool. Yeah. I can't argue with that.
Yeah, they came from space, it turns out. Weird.
That's on the mission parameters, but they weren't hoping for it. It's kind of a long shot.
Mm.
But they were hoping to find water. They were expecting to find water and hoping they would, because that would help give us maybe some clues about where water on Earth came from. That's a big mystery still. An open question in science is how's there so much water on Earth? Where did it all come from? Because early in Earth's history, it's just rocky and it's very hot. So even if water collected on Earth early on, they would have expected it would have all just evaporated and then, you know, just been pushed out into space with no atmosphere. Because
I've never thought about that. That's crazy. Hold on a second.
Yeah.
I've never thought about that. Like, all that water wouldn't have just spontaneously poofed, right? It doesn't, water doesn't work that way. H2O doesn't work that way. It would have to be.
Right.
Oh, that's wild to think about.
Yeah, so there's a lot of different theories about where water came from, but one of the big ones is that asteroids and comets hitting Earth might have seeded water on Earth.
You know? What if it was, hey, Brian, what if it's Galactus pee? What if pee? What if he just
peed? It would be a lot more than that.
Oh, I see. We'd have a quantity. It would be water world here is what we'd have.
It would be exactly, yes. It'd be urine world.
That's a good point.
There aren't enough potted plants.
that's right.
That's the truth. That's really interesting. So they'll be able to, and this clean room, the whole idea is to have as little as possible contamination of any kind, and not even traditional contamination. Like, they don't want regular air in there. They want
nothing.
Yeah. Just exactly. Like, let's see this in its most pure form or whatever. Things like this make me worry sometimes, because they'll target the one they want to get the sample from. They get the sample, they bring it back, they land it in Utah like they seem to always do, for who knows why. Probably a lot of all that space down there, I don't know. And then they pull it out and they look at it, and I always think, what if it's just like dirt? What if it's the same as the dirt in the backyard? You know what I mean?
Right, mm-hmm. Right.
Like, what? Like, if it's well, just like a piece of dirt.
We didn't learn anything from this.
Right. That was a dumb $1 billion anyway, you know? It seems...
Well, I mean, if it was dirt like soil from Earth, that would be very exciting, because it would be very unexpected to find that on an asteroid, right?
Oh, that's so a good anything point.
Anything we find is it's all information. It's all data, right?
Right.
So that's why it's all very, very useful for us to see. So they sent it up there. They were expecting to collect, the goal was to collect 60 grams of material, of loose, you know, pebbles and rocks and everything from this asteroid. And it was so successful that they collected 250 grams, more than four times what they were hoping to get.
Whoa! Yeah.
So much so that it actually overflowed into the way the canister is designed. Is there's a canister, and then there's sort of like a gap between the canister and then a larger canister that holds the main canister.
Mm-hmm.
And they got so much stuff that it filled up all the gap between the two canisters even. So they had a bunch of extra stuff that they were able to look at, and they were able to do some like preliminary testing. They haven't, as far as I know, the last time I checked, they haven't actually opened the proper canister yet, even though it's been a couple weeks, because they're trying to be very close, very careful and slow about it.
I see.
Right. They've shot at it with like X-rays and all these other things to see what's inside and just get a sense of what they're looking at. But they were able to do some preliminary looks at all this extra stuff that was collected on the outside. So they already have some information about what was in there or what is going to be in there. And so they found a bunch of carbon, which is good, 5% carbon by mass. And they did find an abundant amount of water from hydrated clays that were on this asteroid. Mm-hmm. So water and carbon together is a very strong sign that there could not, so the water's great, but also that they could be looking at a source of organic compounds whenever they get into it, because water and carbon are big components to all of that. Because that was the other thing they were hoping to look for, is see if they could find amino acids on this asteroid. Because again, that's another big open question. How amino acids are the building blocks of proteins, and so there's a big question of how did life on Earth form? Right. We can only look back so far. We don't know how it began. And so this could give us some insight onto how, one possible way, maybe not just water was seeded on Earth, but also some of these building blocks that were used to form amino acids and proteins.
So the origin of life stuff, which could be super fascinating if they can get, if they can yield some of that data. So what if the water situation was just taken care of by the happenstance of, like, I don't know, a gigantic ice asteroid from who knows where?
Usually comets. So you're thinking comets, because those are huge balls of ice.
Yeah, right? That's right. Yeah. So enough of that hits the Earth. That's a lot of water, though, right? Mm-hmm. Like, how do you?
Yeah,
fill
yeah. And, but certainly, it's going to take a lot of it, right? Because let's say you're talking about the very early Earth. It's still very hot. Probably much of the surface is still molten rock, right?
Yeah.
And so if a big comet hits that, and is mostly water ice, let's say, just hypothetically.
Sure.
Water ice, as they say in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Water ice. water ice, yeah. they're gonna, all of that may evaporate and everything, but a lot of that is going to just evaporate off and go out into space again.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
So you're still going to need a lot of them, because you're going to need enough for that too. And that's why some people think that it's not likely that that happened. There's other theories about the water actually being contained in the minerals and rocks of the Earth and just slowly over time precipitated out slowly upward and everything. So
do you,
different theories
slightly. It's actually connected what I wanted to send you, and I'll still send it. But do you follow Brian Cox at all? Not the actor, but the astrophysicist guy.
I watch a lot of his stuff and read a lot of his stuff. I don't follow him closely though. No.
Okay. Super interesting dude, obviously. Yeah. Very charismatic as well.
He's really great. I like him a lot.
Yeah. There's this chunk of audio I need to send you where someone asks him what his biggest fear is about the universe. And his answer is both poignant, but just opened a whole bag of chips for me, like brain chips. Yeah. It's too hard to explain here. So I'm pulling a Johnson here a little bit, but I'll send you this audio or this video I found, and you can hear it. We can just maybe have a little offline discussion of it, because it really broke my brain. It made me go, oh my gosh, he's right. Holy shit. Like, anyway, so that's
broke
a fun
brain more than scent and scent.
Yeah. Scent and scent, which really broke my brain. I just repaired all that. Now I got this.
Yeah.
New
right. Now it's new breakage.
Yeah. Sucks, yeah, man. Yeah. Anyway, well, that's fascinating. More on that from your awesome podcast. Tell people where they can get it and why they should listen.
We actually did talk a lot about this specific thing on just two episodes ago, and Maura covered it and went into much more detail about asteroids and comets and this mission in particular. That's on All Around Science is the podcast. And you can we talk all about science news and just other stuff going on in science. We just had an interview with an anthrozoologist who taught us what anthrozoology even is.
Yeah,
good place to start.
I don't know what that even is. Never heard of that.
It's about the interaction between the study of the interaction between humans and animals.
Oh, okay.
And stuff like that.
So, all right.
Which we have a long history with animals.
So. Yeah, we love our animals. Where some of us go as far as a furry lifestyle, and that's fine. That's great.
Nothing wrong with that at
You're
all.
You're super into it. I get it. It's
probably- one quick kind of related science question. Did you get a chance to get outside and watch the eclipse this weekend?
It was too cloudy here.
Oh, no.
Yeah, we got a decent shot at it here, and they did that whole reflective thing through trees where the light through the trees would cast little moons on the
little
ground.
Miniature,
yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah, it's awesome. Yeah. I love
it. Yeah, because I got to see that when the full solar eclipse happened a few years ago. The center of totality, like smack dab in the center of totality, passed right over our house. So we were able to see it without even having to go anywhere. It was amazing. And yeah, we got to see what you were talking about, Scott.
Little crescents all over the ground. Mm-hmm. It's all the pinhole cameras, basically.
Yeah.
The same effect.
It was really, it's something to see. If you ever
stopped off and had something I never had before, a mochi donut. There's a new place in Denver that makes mochi donuts, and had some Vietnamese coffee and a mochi donut and sat there with my the Denver Astronomy Association glasses looking up at the up at the eclipse.
Wow, that's cool. That you're already better than a certain elected official we had a couple of years ago.
Hey, Melania, why don't you look up there? Yeah, right, sure.
Oh, they said don't look at it, and he immediately went...
Immediately, right there, yeah.
Weirdo. Well, Bobby, it's always a grand time hanging with you, and we look forward to this when this happens every time. Anything else you want to mention?
Nope. I've just go all around science.
Around science, you bastards. Go get it today. Bobby Frankenberger, everybody. Go check him out, and we'll see you next time. Bye now. Okay. What happened there? Oh, it worked. Okay. Brian, we're near the end of the show here. Oh, look at this, Brian. You want to see some burgers? Oh, can you not hear me? Why? Oh, did I quit? Did I quit the call?
Sorry. Yes.
Oh, weird.
Usually you catch it. And so I was like, all right, he'll pick up on it. And then I see you still talking to me like, nope, can't hear you. Look up there.
Yeah, I'm glad you pointed.
I don't know where your Discord is.
No, I'm glad you pointed because I thought for real I was all good. That was very strange. I found something I want. I'm going to just share it with you real quick. This is, I'm going to buy this because I'm an idiot. So I found this on Amazon. There's your link.
Sure,
chat.
Look at this. Geez Louise.
I'm buying these fake burgers. You get two of them. Look at these things.
Oh, hilarious. Look at that. Are they full size?
Yeah, they're full size. These are meant for like kitchens and things where people are showing off whatever they make or whatever.
Yeah.
There's a real range of like realism versus cartoony looking fake food. I don't want any of the cartoony stuff. I want the realistic stuff. And I'm going to buy these burgers.
These in photos, these look absolutely realistic.
Don't they? I mean, it might be. The reviews are good. Well, there's only one rating, so.
Yeah, the review is good.
The review is good. The review is 5 stars, so
yes,
I don't know.
Yes, exactly. Make sure. I mean, you've got to have some fun with Van with this thing.
Oh, hell yeah, dude. That's half the good time to have, right, is to fool little kids.
Look at all these donuts and cupcakes.
Oh, they got all kinds of crap too, right? Fries. Yeah. There's a pizza. That doesn't look like a real hot dog, though. That's kind of boring. Let's see.
No, but these donuts and cupcakes and muffins look pretty good.
Yeah, I wonder if Etsy probably has
free delivery today. So for $23, I could have these 16-piece fake food, realistic, artificial toy donuts, cupcake, fake slice cake, artificial simulation, macaron, artificial food, blah blah blah.
Yeah.
How big are these things? Let's see.
Right? That's the thing.
The fake donuts measure 5 centimeters, 2 inches in diameter. So they're also way miniaturized fake donuts, cakes, macarons.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right about that. Oh my gosh, I gotta do something with these.
I like this. The description. The fake donuts measure 5 centimeters, 2 inch in diameter. The artificial cupcakes are about 5 by 6 centimeters. The fake cake slice measures 7 centimeters. And the fake macaron is 5 centimeters. Eye-catching and can be noticed easily. Thank goodness you can notice them easily.
That's how you know there's a dude in China working on the copy. That's how you know.
That's right. Exactly.
Well, all right then. That was a good time right there. Let's get out of here. Although we do have a quick thing. You know the Versailles versus Versailles. All that stuff. Well, we have some confirmation from some locals. I got 15 calls about this. I'm only playing one.
Okay.
All right. So here's the one.
Brian, this is Harold from Kentucky. You're actually right. It's Versailles, Kentucky. It's the county seat of Woodford County, Kentucky, where Woodford Reserve is made, which is north of that. Louisville is an interesting concept. Where you are in greater Louisville, you may hear it pronounced Louisville, which is more the common way of saying it, or Louisville, or Louis. Louisville is not that common. But you can almost tell where somebody lives in the city by how they pronounce it. Anyway, enjoy the show, but I was just yelling at my phone a second ago, so I thought I would call. Thanks a lot.
That's why I gave it to him, because he apparently yelled at his phone, I felt bad. So I was like, all
right. Oh, well, plus I always like the calls. Yeah, Brian is right about that.
I know, right? Right? Brian Wright, often, are good calls. I like those calls. I love when where our biases are confirmed. So thank you for that, everybody. So
there we go. And yeah, you know, the whole Louisville, because what you can't call the baseball bat, I don't think you could seriously call it a Louisville slugger. You have to say a Louisville slugger.
Louisville.
Right?
Yeah, right? I didn't think of that.
You'd have to call that a Louisville slugger. You don't call it a Louisville slugger.
Yeah. All right, we also got some stuff from Arkansas folks who are like, hello, we look like Arkansas, and we say Arkansas for no reason. Yeah. And I'm like, yeah, you guys are part of the problem.
True.
Well done.
True. Yep.
All right, that's it for that. Later today, so some good news, I guess. I don't know what this is, but I get a lot of different developers who send me review codes for brand new games, and they're like, "Hey, you should play this for us, and do you want this?" And I'm like, "Yeah, sure." Yeah. And then I'll oftentimes play this stuff and I'll talk about it on Core, but they don't get a lot of exposure for it. So I'm going to start with a regular Frog Pants Play stream every Monday. And I'm doing it later in the day so that people who are working and stuff can come watch. So starting today, nice. From 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Mountain Time, at frogpants.tv, I will start doing Frog Pants Plays again. And I'll be doing it every Monday with, you know, holiday exceptions or whatever. So that's starting today. And come around today at 6 p.m. And I will play games. I don't know which ones I'm doing yet. I got a huge list backlog of these indies and stuff people send me, chore core games, all kinds of crap. I'll pick a couple of them. We'll spend a couple hours with it and spend some time with you folks. So if you want to come watch live and check these games out, you can. That'll start today and happen every Monday. Frog Pants Plays, we call it, at frogpants.tv, 6 p.m., 8 p.m. Mountain Time. Right here. So come check it out.
Cool. Very cool. You know, I might do, before that, I might do some assembly. The last Iron Man pieces to make this thing do the superhero landing pose, basically.
Nice. That's all you have left, eh?
That's all I have left, yeah. So right now he just stands up. Right now he's standing up and waving. But I really want to have him up on the shelf behind me.
Yeah.
And he's too tall to put upright. But if I have him doing the superhero landing pose, then I think he can fit up there. He might be too... you know, that back leg bent might be too deep to fit on that bookcase.
That'd look really cool, though. Sign me up for this inevitable future. Sounds great.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll work right there.
They'll totally show up there.
Yep.
What album do we have out today? What's the album next to you?
It's Johnny Cash Live at San Quentin, a used copy that I got that is signed.
By Johnny Cash?
No, by somebody named Melanie Lilly.
Oh,
she signed it, which is really nice of her. I don't know.
Weird.
I don't think she was a resident of San Quentin. I think she was the previous owner of this album that I got at a thrift store.
I love you. Got a signed album of Johnny Cash's.
You walked right. It was perfectly set up too. Like signed copy. Ooh, by Johnny Cash. Nope. By the previous owner of the album.
It's like getting a book where it's like, "Dear Sally, we hope you enjoy the book." And it's like, "Look at this, autographed by Sally, previous owner of the book."
Actually, funny you bring that up. So Chris Brown, massive fan of power pop, like The Kinks, Joe Jackson, Nick Lowe. And I found in a used bookstore, I might get this wrong. I think it was Nick Lowe's autobiography.
Mm.
And... and it was, I popped it open. I'm looking at it and I open up the very first page and it's been given as a gift already.
Yeah.
and it said, "Dear Tom, I hope you enjoy this. It, you know, I know you're a big fan of his music, and I know you really want to know the behind-the-scenes stories of all of his songs, and so I really hope you enjoy this," signed Melissa. Mm. So I bought the book for Chris Brown, and then I wrote underneath that inscription, I said, "Dear Chris Brown, I hope you like this book better than Tom did." Signed, Brian.
Well, clearly that guy didn't like it.
He didn't like it enough to keep it. No. Nope, he liked it enough to sell it the first chance he got to a second in Charles. So
that's great.
Done with that.
That's a great regift. I love that.
Yes.
I mean, it's literally a real gift because you bought it, but, you know.
It's a real gift. Oh, right, exactly. But it's a, but, you know, it worked perfectly as both a thing that I know he likes and as a way to have some snarky fun at Tom's expense.
Absolutely fantastic. I love that. All right. That's it for the show. We're done. I would like to tell people to go to patreon.com/TMS. I'd like to tell you. No, I would like to tell you. We want you to go there. Okay, we do, because it's a great month to get in. It's the spookiest month of the year, so why not do a spooky thing like sign up for our Patreon for as low as $1 a month, which will get you no commercials ever, pre-show content every day, couch parties on the weekend, art in the mail, and other great monthly benefits. Although the art in the mail one's a little higher than $1. But still, for a monthly thing, we're so stupid here. Take advantage of us right now. Yeah. Patreon.com/TMS. And now a song prepared and delivered. Oh, go ahead. What?
The goal, by the way, is still to have these Morning Stream magnets done before November. So a bunch of these, I just need to get with you and figure out how many I need to produce.
Yeah.
And
can do.
Then we'll take it from there.
100% can do. Mm-hmm. Oh, nice. I just got this just in. I just got a note. We've been waiting in a gigantic queue. Production queue for Dungeon Murders actual printing and production.
Oh, wow. No kidding.
And I just got a note that said, "We are officially in production as of right today. That means they may start shipping this end of the week or next week.
Oh, shipping out to everybody?
Like out, yeah, because we're basically prepped with everything else. All the extra shirts and the bonus stuff and all the extras are done and waiting. They're all staged. As soon as these start rolling in, which should be pretty quick. Last time I got cards within 2 days after they were in production.
Wow. Okay.
Those will start rolling in, and then right out the door is the goal.
Nice. So I'm very excited. Just in time for your Thanksgiving celebrations.
Yeah, very excited about that. All right. That'll do it for today. We need to go have a song, though. Can you do that?
Well, J.K. Grammer wrote in. Our friend J.K. Grammer says, "Hey, Superior and Bruticus." She said, "Yes." Aww. "I proposed to my girlfriend Sarah this past Friday, and she said yes. We're planning on getting married in April in Vegas at TMS Vegas." I'm just kidding. In March, and we can't wait. "We love that we can share this special time with you guys and all the Tadpool. Could the ultimate Orange Express impressionist Brian please play us a cover of our song? Cheesy, but we like some cheese. Forever Young by Alphaville." It's a great song.
Yeah,
great
song. Love that song. Alphaville. Such a good one.
You know, named after a German movie. Did you know that? A lot of people, because it's got subtitles. I don't like the subtitles. I can't read them. I can't keep up with the words as they move on the screen.
It's really getting better. It's getting better. Like, I know people hate it, but it's getting better. It's really good. And yes. I just put up some photos, by the way. That's her. That's the ring. That's her mascara running.
That's her mascara running. I love that photo. So sweet.
Yeah, it's very sweet. Happy for you guys. That's awesome.
He continues, "We love you guys and everyone in our wonderful community of Frog Pants. We're sure we're going to need a lot of rice on our big day."
Shit. Hold on. I'm not prepared here. Rice. Can't not have this for the happy couple.
Dump.
Nope. That's the wrong guy. Hold on. Here it is.
"Then you can eat rice."
Got it. Nailed it.
Jim Watson, "I have message redacted, but I saw briefly it said something about Forever Young. You probably thought it's by Bob Dylan, not by Alphaville." I'm guessing that's what you put in and changed, Tim Watson.
Yeah, probably.
Live chat. Live chat's great. I can still see message redacted. Anyway, love you all. Signed, James and Sarah. All right, let's get to this. This is the Forever Young. Yeah, we've had a lot of people do Forever Young over the years, and you know, like Tim Watson was going to tell me, there are many songs called Forever Young. This is the one by Alphaville. However, this is the one covered by a little band that you might hear when you're it's a French movie, not a German movie. Okay.
Oh. the German movie invaded the French movie and then made it a German movie.
That's
how
that went. That's right. Okay, yeah. French movie. Anyway, what does Trump know? He's dumb. You know. Well, I knew that it was a French movie, but that was my Trump impersonation.
Yeah, you were in character. It's fine.
I was in character. I'm very method.
Yeah.
Right. And that's why I thought, yeah, Bombettes. I thought that it was a German movie because Alphaville, the band, is German. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway. The band that's covering them, they're a perfect band to listen to if you're on a train with Rebecca De Mornay. Yes, Tangerine Dream here covering Alphaville's Forever Young from their 2012 album so creatively titled Undercover. Here's Tangerine Dream.
See you guys tomorrow.
Get more at frogpants.com.
And that's a story, Marshall.
Gee, that is a story.
It sure is.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.